Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
Our names are probably the single most important thing about us. Studies have shown that, for better or worse, names impact everything. Where we live, what we want to do for a living, what sort of first impression we make, whether or not we get a callback or a job, our grades, who we marry, all of it. Don't believe me? A study found that people who share an initial with the name of a devastating hurricane are far more likely to donate money to storm relief. Most people don't consciously think about doing that. They just do it. That's how deep their relationship with their name goes. So when we choose a name for our children, it's literally the most critical thing we do for them other than simply keeping them alive. So we really should take care to make it as easy as possible for them when we do it, right? Yeah. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
Getting to name a human being, aside from being an incredible responsibility, is just like one of those things where you get an opportunity to like play poet a little bit.
There's a terrific Maclean's project underway right now called Before You Go. It asks writers to pen letters to their loved ones and put into words the things we often don't say until it's too late. And as part of this series, journalist Elamine Abdelmahmoud wrote a beautiful letter to his infant daughter explaining why he chose to give her his last name, his Sudanese last name, as complicated and weighty as it is. What did you notice as soon as this piece was published, Elamine?
Not only is it a great question, but it's also the most interesting part of the feedback. People really want to talk about the stories behind their names because it's a thing that you carry with you all the time. It's a thing that you get to talk about for like a split second when you're like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And then someone's like, interesting name. Where did that come from? And I get to say a sentence about it and then move on. But like, I have so much to say about my name, where it comes from, how I got this name, how my family feels about this name. So there's a lot of history there. Now, mind you, I've met a lot of people who are like, I don't know, named Doug. And they're like, there's a Doug in the family somewhere. And so,
right.
Doug. But the vast majority of people I've met, I've been like, you know, it's dope talking about my name and talking about the history of where it comes from. It really exceeded my expectations how people responded to this piece. I'm really loving it. And like a lot of people are sharing the stories of their names and being like, I used to really like hate my name and now I grew into loving it. Or some people who talked about how they anglicized their name a long time ago and now they really deeply regret doing that. Those are stories that are really personal, and most people want to talk about this stuff but don't really have an avenue for doing it. And this piece kind of opened a tiny little space in the dark wasteland that is Twitter to just be like, this is my relationship with my name, where it comes from.
It sparked a conversation between me and an editor at Maclean's who both have hyphenated names, just about the nature of where those names come from and the compromise and why we choose that. And then we were talking about that and other people joined in, and it was just...
That's really cool.
It was something you wouldn't expect to have occurred, just an honest and deep discussion in a group of colleagues.
So what came out? I'm so curious. Tell me more.
Well, so I told him the process that we went through of choosing one last name for our daughter, which we chose because simply on my father's side, he's the only male child. His three sisters all took her husband's name. So if we didn't give that name to our daughter, that name would die.
Right.
So that was
no pressure,
a big...
Geez.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? But, you know, again, choosing names is fraught with politics, right?
And
that's a story.
Yeah.
And he's a few years younger than me, and he'd been talking about, like, I've been thinking about this for a while, and he's not about to have a kid. But if you have a name that's not quite, quote-unquote, normal,
sure.
It's always in the back of your head how you're going to deal with that when your children come along, right?
For sure. Now, how do you feel about your name?
You know what? When I was younger, I didn't like it because it was long and complicated, and I have to explain the hyphen, and now it feels fine.
It feels fine.
I grew into it.
I think that's what names are kind of for.
Especially bigger, complicated names, right? You need when you're a kid, you just don't have enough depth to fill it up.
Yeah, you're just like, this is a thing that I have to just sit there and write, and that's about it. But then later, you're like, oh man, this is so much a part of my identity because you've carried it with you for so long.
And you've probably thought about it way more than Doug Smith just because you've had to.
100%.
You got a history.
Yeah, man.
You have a really interesting name.
Thank you. I made it
sounds
myself.
Really nice.
I didn't make it.
No, you didn't. Your parents chose it. Have your parents told you how they chose your name? Did they give you the spiel?
They did. So my name is Al-Amin Abdul Mahmoud. That is the name that I present to Canadian society. However, I was born in Sudan, where the tradition is that your last name is actually your father's name. My dad's name is Saif. So my entire life in Sudan, my name was Al-Amin Saif al-Din. That was my name. And then I moved to Canada when I was 12. And the interesting bit about this is that my dad moved to Canada a little bit before me. Now, his father's name is Al-Amin. So he was Saif al-Din Al-Amin. But then he got to Canada and he was like, well, when my son comes here, if I give him the last name Al-Amin, he's going to be Al-Amin Al-Amin. And that's stupid. I want to, you know, help him escape that awful destiny. Thank you, father. What he did was he went one name further in the generations. So his father's name was Al-Amin Abdul Mahmoud. I became Al-Amin Abdul Mahmoud, but I was originally Al-Amin Saif. That's how everyone in Sudan knows me.
Really?
Yeah. The short version of that is I'm named after my grandfather.
Right. And that's the 1 second answer you would give when someone said, where'd your name come from?
Yeah. As opposed to being like, well, let me tell you how they do names in Sudan, first of all.
Which is it's an interesting story.
Yeah. Like, thank you for giving me many minutes to talk about this.
You wrote about naming your infant daughter.
Yes.
What's her name?
Her name is Amna Elliot Abdul Mahmoud, which is so many letters.
What are the family politics around choosing a name for a child?
So my dad and my mom moved to Canada like 20 years ago or so. And I'm very conscious of the fact that there was very little Sudanese family here. And so I kind of carry that with me a lot in that I have 40 cousins in Sudan, so many aunts, so many uncles, none of them are here. The conversation has always been about the style of name. Leading up to choosing a name, I was sort of conscious of the fact that the name has to work on many levels. One of the levels is it has to sort of protect the fact that my child will have part of her identity be a Sudanese identity. I was not particularly fussed about a middle name. We don't really have middle names in Sudan. And my wife's contribution was all like, look, like, I think that should be sort of the English bit that we cast out. Right. She's a white woman from Hamilton. So she
wants an English bit.
Right. Like, she's not arguing for the Sudanese bit. She's like, well, there's other history to argue for as well.
Right.
It also has to work on the level of she has to get jobs in this country.
Right.
And she has to, like, communicate with people. And she has to go to Starbucks sometimes. And all of these were considerations in the back of my mind. So when we eventually settled on the model of Arabic first name, English middle name, and then my last name, we still hadn't settled on the names. I think my wife still has a long iPhone note of like, here's like an Arabic first name that goes with this English middle name. I'm not telling you any of the ones that we still have on the table just in case there's another child somewhere down the road. Not a chance. You're not getting it out of me. But one of the name combinations that she picked was Amna. She's the one who landed on that. And the minute I heard it, I was like, yes, that feels perfect. That feels right. I think it makes me particularly happy that someone who doesn't share that heritage with me was a person who was like, I think this is the right name. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, you're right. That kind of was like a beautiful moment.
The heart of the piece is you talking about why you chose to give your daughter your last name.
Yes.
Was there a time that you thought you shouldn't do that?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Why?
First of all, I'm not the only person having this child. A hyphenated name was in play. My wife's last name is Burns. It would have been Abdul Mahmoud Burns.
That's quite possibly one of the better hyphenated names I've ever heard. Yeah. For sheer originality.
That child, we've never been able to escape the weight of that last name, let me tell you. We talked about inventing a new last name, which is a thing that some people do. Like Abdul Mah Burns. I guess it would have been Burns Mahmoud? No, I have no idea. I don't know what portmanteau we would have come up with, but I'm sure it would have been cute and fine. But yes, so it wasn't always going to be my last name. But then in the last few years, I've been kind of thinking that one of the wonderful things about having this last name, of having a reminder that I was born elsewhere, a reminder that I came from somewhere else, and I wanted that for my daughter. I wanted it not to be easy for her to forget that a part of her doesn't come from here.
What are we trying to accomplish when we name our kids?
Well, it's a legal requirement.
Yes.
That part sucks, you know? Like, I remember standing in the hospital 4 a.m. when my wife was going into labor, and I had to, like, write down the name on the form. I was like, this is how it happens? It felt gravely important for a process that was happening at 4 a.m. in front of a nurse that has seen this happen, like, 1,000 times. And I'm like, have a poetic moment with me. And she's like, it's 4 a.m. I don't care that much, which is fair. I think we try to give our children names that do one of two things. One, give them an identity that is distinct from other people. The other thing is the best names tie people to a story. You know, when you ask someone how you get that name and then they're able to tell you, you know, where that came from. There was one person who tweeted me after the story went up, first name Hassan, and then last name, can't remember what it was, but he was incredibly Caucasian and it was great. The gist of that story was that they were born in a village. Their parents didn't want them to forget that that's where the story began.
Right.
What about you? Like, how did you come up with a name?
For my daughter?
Yes.
To be totally honest, we went through the name book.
Nice.
We said them all out loud and we highlighted a few as we went. And, you know, we marked some of the ones that had meaning beyond sort of sounding like a nice name. Sometimes it would be meaning in your family, but also just names that matter to you. And
I like the saying out loud part.
So if we reverse the question that I just asked you, like that to me, and I come to this without a very interesting name. It is a hyphenated name, but it's also a very white Anglo-Saxon name. So there's not a whole lot of history to carry with it. So really, I'm unburdened by that stuff. So we could just focus on what sounded nice. Part of our discussion was figuring out like, okay, well, when she gets a nickname, what are they going to call her? What are her friends going to call her? How is it going to work with her middle name and her last name? And for us, the big question was, what would her last name be? Because my wife is a single name. I'm a hyphenated name.
That's a lot of names.
It's three names. You can't give a kid three names unless you make one a middle name.
That's true.
I guess you can.
You can add another hyphen? No, that's nuts. That's
you
crazy.
Could, right?
Could you?
Can I mean,
do that?
She could be... Margaret Rose Heath Rawlings Counter, but she's not.
That's incredible.
She's not. She's Margaret Rose Rawlings.
But also has like a nice flow to it.
Sure.
Like you considered flow. And I think getting to name a human being, aside from being an incredible responsibility, is just like one of those things where you get an opportunity to like play poet a little bit. We've all heard names that are like, that has no flow whatsoever. I don't know where you're going with that.
Right. It sounds clunky.
Right.
Like Abdel Mahmoud Burns.
Right. You would look at that and be like, not a chance. Plus, that's like 20 letters. Who wants that in their life?
One of the things that you wrote in your piece that I thought was just so mystical was you said that names are alive. What do you mean by that?
Names are alive because when you say them out loud, aside from having resonance, they also define your relationship to people sometimes. People react to names and I think change the chemistry of your relationship to other people. They also carry weight in the sense that we have a lot of studies that suggest that ethnic sounding names, for example, don't get callbacks in interviews. That's a weight. That's a history.
Did you think about that when naming your daughter?
Of course I did. I'm so excited for her to never get a callback. I'm going to feel real bad about this. However,
how did you weigh that choice though?
It was weighing difficulty getting a job the first few times you try to apply versus feeling rootless, feeling like you don't have a good sense of the history that you come from.
So I wanted to ask you about how naming conventions are changing. And I think part of that is like originality, right? Because at least in Western culture, it's gone from being name that exists previously in your family plus your dad's last name equals you, John Smith, right?
Sorry, Doug.
Yeah, sorry, Doug. Exactly. Yeah. But now we see a much bigger variety of names and an attempt to give kids original names that don't exist anywhere else.
Yes.
But yeah. Where did we get to the point where like Doug is not good enough anymore, right?
Sure.
I know there's lots of Dougs out there, but
I mean,
there's fewer than there used to be because there's far more names than there used to be.
Have you ever talked to a Sarah about how she feels about her name?
Right.
It's a little bit of that. Maybe if you give a family name that you really love your Aunt Sarah, and you're like, I'm going to name my child Sarah. And then Sarah goes to school, and then there's seven other Sarahs in the classroom. That clearly changes that person's relationship to their name. I don't think names have to be boring. I think names are partially a story. And so if we stop telling those stories and we start to invent new ones, part of that means digging for some really strange names that I will not name any in this podcast because I feel like that'd be slanderous to some people.
It's a no judgment name zone. It's more of
we're just not naming them.
Fair enough.
You know, there's a subtle difference. It's interesting to me how many people name their kid Bella after they read Twilight. Bella's not a specially unique name, but you see that in a story and be like, that has resonance, so I'm going to, you know, I'll do it.
What will you think if your daughter wants to go by her middle name one day?
If you are listening to this 10 years later, I won't be mad, dear daughter. Maybe I'll be a little bit mad. I don't know.
I'll be happy the podcast still exists. I hope she's listening.
Listen, her middle name is there because it's an escape hatch, and I accept that, right? I think Elliot's a beautiful name. I also think she looks like an Anna, but she also kind of looks like an Elliot. I think it would work really well for her. It'd be interesting to me the process that she goes through to get to that part. Because in order for her to get to the other side of being like, I would like to now take off the burden of having this last name, she has to have a conversation with herself. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how sophisticated that conversation is. It could be, I really hate this at grade 7, or I'm definitely not this at later stages. But she has to sort of process the idea that she's leaving one part of her identity behind for sure. I can't control how she's going to feel about it. I think I have a tough job between now and then to be like, this is a part of you that I want you to love. I know that that's going to take effort and that's going to take time. And I'm interested in how that shakes out.
What's the one thing you would try to like pass on to a parent who's just now sitting down to try to pick what name to give their child that you really thought deeply about when digging in for this piece?
Spend time thinking about it as more than just what's a popular name. I know a lot of people look at like popular name registries and see what names are trending upwards this year, what names are trending downwards. That's a fun process. It's always interesting. But I don't think that's the most compelling part of the conversation. The most compelling part is getting to insert your own kind of story into it. Think about what kind of story you want to have for your child when they go, hey, why did you name me Matthew? Because I like the name is a good story, not a great one. And it doesn't necessarily lead to an interesting relationship with the name later. I want them to know that those names will very much have a lot of weight on how that child develops. Develops friendships, develops conversations about themselves. So names have consequences that are far beyond just what you're putting down on a birth certificate.
Thanks, Elamine.
My pleasure.
That was The Big Story. If you'd like to participate in the Before You Go project, you can go to mcleans.ca/beforeyougo. It's an important project, and you can say whatever you think you need to say to an important person in your life that you haven't been able to talk to yet. If you want more from us, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Our whole back catalog is there, and you can contact us right off that website, or you can contact us on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And when you do that, hit subscribe, rate us, review us, tell us what you think. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.